We are natural storytellers. It's what makes us human. David Issei of StoryCorps describes, oral history interviews seek to record and preserve in-depth accounts of personal experiences and reflections. Welcome to Walking the Beat. You're tuning into our oral history project. This is our part in documenting knowledge, capturing the hard-earned learning, making space for legacy so we can build forward. If we want to know about better policing, let's build off of the efforts of a chief who does that. If we want to understand the impact of lockdown drills on children, ask one. There is great intimacy in listening, allowing a beloved to unfurl their wisdom. There is also risk. For us, we might be changed a little. We offer these testimonies as historical documents. The stories are as diverse as the people. What can we learn from each other about the conditions for safety? What is our role in interrupting violence in our communities? How might we collectively challenge violence as a culture and replace it with healthy habits? Not just bodies, how can we protect each other's psyche? What might a story about a time we felt safe tell us about necessary public policy? Youth in the Walking the Beat program learned how to conduct oral history interviews on matters of community violence and public safety. We'll hear from a judge, a detective, a police chief, an elder, a third grader, a reverend, a social worker, a bunch of teenagers, a drama teacher. We have so many folks show up from our community, and we have you. Let's listen.
I'm Gabriella. Today is November 15th, and you're located in the public library.
Okay, Dolores Perkins, November the 15th. I'm in the public Elizabeth Public Library.
Yes. Okay. I have a couple questions to ask.
Okay.
Hey. How much more different is today's society compared to the society you grew up in?
How much more?
You want to? Yeah.
A whole lot. A whole lot.
Tell me more.
Oh, okay. Now, where do you want me to go? Well, the whole, while it's different from when I grew up to now, is that that we have more traffic. We have more abundance of children going or in the schools. And it seems as though that we are not closely like a family in neighborhoods. When I grew up in a neighborhood. Well, actually, we were surrounded by people that looked after you. They helped you. We lived next door to a man who grew tomatoes and stuff in his yard, and he always shared. And my mother and father, we could go out and leave our back door unlocked and not worry. But all of that has changed.
I agree. How do you view the youth today? What are your
opinion on the youth today, going from my children to now, is totally different. The youth to I don't know if I would consider this, but the babies that come today, you have babies today, I call them computer age babies, because they're much smarter than when even with my children, like a 1 or 2 year old could practically hold a conversation with you. Almost, they learn faster. And I mentioned computer. Everything is technology now. The technology to me is good. But or the children learning how to read instead of sitting in front of a screen and just looking, somebody reading to them, or are they really picking up a book to read? Can they think, use logic? All you have to do is go to the computer and it's dot, 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 and it's there. They're not thinking. You have to think. You have to use logic, the simplest little thing. And the youth today, they have more opportunities, much more opportunities. Some of our young people don't take advantage of that. They don't take advantage. And like we had the vocational school here in Elizabeth, where you can do cosmetology, mechanic, auto mechanic. They had all of that, carpentry. And at that time, it was the students went. But now, I don't even know if they still have it. But it was like an opening, especially like if a young lady or a young man wanted to be in the cosmetology, want to be a beautician, they could have went there and got it all. And all they had to do was go and take the test. No pay, they didn't have to pay anything. But like I said, I don't know if that's still going on at the school. But it seems like that our young people rely so much on their cell phone, they rely on Facebook, they rely on sitting in front of the computer all day if they can. And it's not, they're not using their God-given brain to think. You have to think, you have to think. I don't care what the computer can do a lot, because I use it. If I want to find somebody's address, all I do is dot, dot, dot your name and boom, it comes up. But it's more than that. You know, you can't rely on the computer to take you through life experiences. Because when you leave high school, that's another phase of your life. When you leave, if you go to college, you leave college, that's another phase of your life. And it really doesn't give you to talk to people. Everybody wants to text. I want to talk. Texting is good. I mean, I'm not knocking it, but you have to make this your main source of communication. It's good to talk back and forth. Now look in your face and we talk. So.
Would you say that the advance in technology now is like a distraction for kids?
I wouldn't say it's a total distraction. No, I wouldn't say it's total, but it is a distraction. And it really depends on the individual. It depends on the individual. I used to work in the school as a teacher's assistant, and we had this one student, young man, and he didn't do anything. All he focused on was the computer. He didn't want to do anything else. That's all he wanted to do. And I told him, I said, look, the computer is good. The computer is a machine. When it breaks down, then what? What are you going to do if it breaks down? So, but it is a distraction, but not a total distraction. Maybe for some people it is, and some it's not. So it's like how you feel to use it. Yeah. You can't make it your life.
Yeah.
You can't make it your life.
What is one of your favorite stories from your youth or childhood?
Oh. I don't even know if I have a drink for it.
They keep.
I don't know. I guess, you know, I really think about my mom and my dad and as us as a family. There was seven children and my mom and my dad, but I don't know if people still do it anymore, but we always, especially on Sunday, we always on Sunday sat down for Sunday dinner, the whole family. There was no eating in front of no TV or radio at that time. It's no, I'm going to eat over here in the living room. No, we didn't do that. Everybody sat together. I don't know if that's on the story, but this is for me. And, you know, I thought about that as us as a family. And sometimes I can tell you one story. My grandfather came to babysit us while my mother and dad went out. And my grandfather, he liked to listen to the radio, and he fell asleep. And when what startled him, he jumped up and knocked over everything on the table. And we got up and we said, oh, we used to say, Pip, what's happening? He said, nothing, go back to bed. Go back to bed. Yeah, so. But they're not, yeah, and then I don't know. We did different things. Like we had a cat. The cat died. I'm afraid of cats. But anyway, we had a kitten and it died. So what we did, we buried it in the backyard. We buried it in the backyard. We put it in the box and just buried it. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Why
I'm afraid? I don't know. I really don't know. But I don't like cats. I mean, I don't know. But I do know one thing. I had the cat, and I picked the cat up, and the cat went to lunge at me, and I was in like where we lived. It was like an alley. And the house was, we lived in a four family house. And I went to reach over the fence, and I hurt my arm, and I still have the mark there from trying to run from the cat. But I don't know why, but now no, because my sister used to have cats. She loved cats, but when I go to her house, I call and tell her, because I'm coming over to your house. I said, you put them cats out. So she would put them out. But she liked cats. Oh, no. But, that's why I guess I'm afraid. I don't know. I'm just going to like them. Yeah. The dog I can tolerate, but the cats.
You have a dog?
No.
He do want one?
No, we used to have one when my kids were little.
Mm-hmm. Fuck.
Yeah. No, because I got to take care of them. No. Yeah.
It's a responsibility.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It. Did you say you had seven siblings?
Seven, yes.
How was it growing up in a household with seven?
Oh, it was, what did we have? It was four of us, four girls and three boys.
Well.
And, I don't know, we got along. We was not no fighting and stuff like that. Because we had, like, I'm the oldest, and my sister next to me, she died, and my baby sister died. So it was just myself and my other sister and my three brothers. So, but no, we basically got along good. We didn't. First of all, we couldn't fight because that was a no-no. No, because my father, he was real strict. And so we didn't, you know, we might have little arguments and stuff like that, but nothing blown out. No, oh my God.
I understand that.
Yeah, no. We went on. And people, when people, like my mother's cousins and stuff, they used to come over, and he would tell them, you don't act this way in my house around my children. So was no fun. And I don't even know if my brothers, because boys, they usually go out, they be around other kids, they have fights and stuff. I don't even know if they ever had a fight or anything.
Well, overall, it was a good relationship.
Yeah, it was a good relationship, yeah. Even now, yeah. Because I call my brother calls me, so, yeah, even now.
Do you guys meet together?
Yes, once in a while we get together. Yeah. If my brother lives in Delaware, one lives in Elizabeth and the other one lives in Somerset. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
What are some sad things you've been through, and how are you able to cope with it?
When my sister died, that was like, oh my goodness, when my sister died, my youngest sister died, she died first. I think her daughter was, I think Melissa must have been nine or 10. And then her brother, he must have been around 7 when she died. Actually their father died first, but he was like, instead of being a brother, he was more like a brother. He died, and then she died. And it was like, oh my God, I used to go to the hair salon, and the lady that did my hair, well, she knew the whole family, but she always liked my youngest sister. And I don't know why I did, but she was the first one I called. I called her at the beauty shop, and I was crying and screaming, and I was told her that, my sister had, we used to call her Ella Mae, and her name was Astoria. And anyway, I told her she died. That's all I kept saying. But she died. And then my sister died. My sister died maybe, about 8 years ago. She was the next to me. I'm the oldest, and she was next to me. Yeah. But you know what? When you asked me that question, When my youngest sister died, I cried for a whole year. Every time somebody would mention her name, I would just cry every time for a whole year. And then after that, that was it. I stopped.
Oh.
But now my niece, her daughter, niece, well, she has two twins. She has twins in the air. Yeah, she has twins now. So, and my sister next to me, she had 4 children, and so she has three grandchildren now. Well, her husband is still alive. Yeah. But we were all close. We were all close. Yeah. Oh. Because my youngest sister, she was a beautician. She used to do my daughter's hair. When they were little, she did their hair.
So
what they say, God heals all wounds. So I think about them sometimes. Sometimes I go back, but you have to keep moving. You can't let it overtake you, because if you do, it's no good. So you just keep moving. But the memories and everything, nobody can take that from you. So no matter what they do or say, nobody can take that from you.
And how old were you around the time they passed?
Oh, I don't know. I was 40-something. No, I was older than that. Because my sister that was next to me, she died just before her birthday. So she was like 60, I think 69, and I was 70. So we were like a year apart. Yeah. But when my youngest sister died, yeah, I was 60 some years old when she died. Yeah. She died first, and then my sister Jean died after her. Because it wasn't even like maybe a year when my sister Jean passed. Sorry. That's okay.
What is a valuable lesson you learned throughout your life that you would want to pass on to those who come after you?
Oh, a valuable lesson? And you mean as far as what? Up to my age?
Marriage that you plan to share.
Oh, okay. To treat people the way you want to be treated.
Was that a lesson you learned?
Yes. To treat people the way you want to be treated. If you can help somebody, if you can in some way help someone, to help them and not look for anything back. Some people will help you, and they say, "Oh, I help you," but they look up for something. No, if you're going to help someone, you help them and let it go. And like I said, you treat people the way you want to be treated. Now, like I wouldn't holler and scream at you for no reason. That's not right. And so I don't want you to do that to me. So I shouldn't do it to you. And if you can help, you, especially nowadays, I used to tell the young people at school. I used to tell them, you sit and you learn, because the habits and things that you do now, you're gonna take them out there with you. And if you're not doing right, you're gonna take all that with you. And it's not going to be like you're in school. You're going to be out there in the world. And out there in the world, the people out there, they don't care. So if you try to do what is right by others, treat others right, and just be kind. Because I saw from my mother and father. They would help. We didn't have that much. The people, like, we had one young lady, she was a good friend of ours, her mother, her brother. She's since been passed away. But my parents treated her just like they treated us. So, I don't know, but now it's, like we live in a whole different society now. We live in a society where I'm gonna take it as mine. I'm not sharing. Why should I share? That's the attitudes we get. It's mine. I'm not sharing that. I'm gonna take it. Walk over you and I'm taking it. No, that's no way to live. You can't live like that. You can't live like that. Because if you live like that, you'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied because you're always looking for more. And the more you get, the more you want. Mm-hmm. And you don't care how you get it. No, you can't live like that. You can't. And you know, and it's sad the way the world is today. So,
would you say people nowadays are what, greedy, selfish?
Yeah, I really would. Even if you are on some jobs, it's the same thing. You know, people, I want to get ahead. But if you want to get ahead, you have to work. Nobody's not going to give it to you. You have to work. And so you find ways I can take it anyway. Like I said, it's no way to live. It's no way to live. No. And like they say, poor. What is poor? What is poor? You can be rich and be poor. You can have all the money in the world and be poor. Why? You don't have love. You don't have family. You don't have no one who cares for you. You don't know how to share. You don't know how to give. All you want to do is take. So you're rich, but you're lonely. People only want to be around you for what they can get from you or what you can do for them. That's not living.
I agree.
Yeah.
What is most important to you at this time in your life?
Oh, what is most? My health. My health is right now is most important. Right now, I mean, I have my children, I have my grandkids, I have my great-grandchildren. So right now, my health is most important to me now because, you know, I can function, but I thank God every day that I can do what I can do. But, you know, it's my health. But like I said, I have my family, my children, my sister, all of them, my brother, all of them. So I thank God for that.
Do any of them live with you to, like?
No.
No one lives with you to?
No. No. That's okay. But they come in and out because they all live here in Elizabeth. So it's not like I'm like totally alone, no, because they come, they sometimes bring me something to eat, and sometimes I cook myself, but someone is always there. I can call, like my daughter, she comes to my house for lunch every day, so, well, it's not bad. No, they don't, No, they don't live. No.
So they're close.
Yeah. Yes.
That's good.
Yes. That makes a difference.
How would you want to be remembered?
Oh, how would I want to be remembered? Well, I think I would want to be remembered as someone. Someone who liked to help, and and was giving. Because even at work, I had a couple of one young man. He's not my biological son, but he said, "This is my mom." And then another young lady, she says, "Oh, I'm her granddaughter." So, yeah, I think even as we, for one thing, I think with my children, like I know sometimes you hear a lot of people say, "Oh, I don't want my son or daughter to move away from me. I don't want them to move away from me. When they move, no, they can't move." I've heard people say that. But for me, if they would come to me and say, "Well, I'm moving to such and such a place," okay. I'm not going to stop them.
You wouldn't mind?
I probably, even if I did mind, I wouldn't try to stop them. Because sometimes as we grow older, we try to live our life through our kids. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Like, say if you were my daughter and you say, "Mom, I'm gonna move to California, and I'm gonna go to school there, and then maybe I'll stay, and maybe I want to start a business." Then I would say, "Why would you want to do that? How come you can't go to school right here? We have a lot of schools right here." No. I know a lot of people would, but I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't be sorry. I would be sad to see you go. I would truly be sad to see you go. But when my grandson went to Atlanta, when he went to Morehouse, and he had offers for schools around here, but that's where he wanted to go. So I said, "Well, so what I do, I pray." "Then you pray. You pray that everything would be all right. I'll call." I used to call and then, talk to him and everything, how's everything, But this is what he wanted. Now, I'm the grandmother, so why would I try to stop him from going it? Because he had three offers from other schools up here. So now, I don't know if, maybe, and then again, maybe, for me, maybe I'm saying that because I have six children. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because my one daughter went to South Carolina. She went to school, and she stayed after she graduated. And then she came back. Then my son went, as soon as he graduated, he came back. But I have my other children here, so yeah. So if someone has maybe one daughter, one son, or one son, two daughters or something, or two sons, and they decide to leave, So it's hard, it's hard. For me, I can say that because, like I said, I have my other children here. Mm-hmm. I can't keep them all together all the time. You have to let them go, so. But when my grandson went to Atlanta, he graduated from there. Then he went to California, to UCLA. It was the same thing, So that's what he wanted to do. And like I said, I'm the grandmother. His mother wanted him to stay. She wanted him to stay too, but he said no. He didn't want to. That's where he wanted to go. So you let him go. You let him go. You pray for him. You keep in touch with him. And the only thing I told my kids when they went to school, I said, "Listen, if you can't make it, come home and get a job." That's what I told all of them. I said, "If you can't make it in school, come home and get a job." So, because some parents of, you know, it's hard now, you know, sometimes the child does what the parent, what they think the parent want. I got to stay here because mom and dad want me to stay here. I have to stay. They don't want it, but they do it. And then that leads to other things. So
that's what I think of, man.
Leads to other things. If you don't, I told them all. If you can't make it in school, just come on out. Come out. It's okay. It's all right. Yeah, so five of them went, and my youngest son, he joined the Navy. Yeah, he joined the Navy. Yeah, he joined the Navy, so I said, oh, well. So,
we're almost done. What do you need? These are most insane question. Sorry to you. What do you need to be safe?
Oh, what do you need to be safe?
Yeah.
What do you mean, in the house or outside?
Like, essential, you know, like, item. What do you need to, like, be safe?
What do you mean? I mean, you need a phone, right? You need a phone. You need to call somebody, right?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Something like,
like items that you could like get. And the next question is, what do you need to feel safe?
Oh. You know what I'm saying? A lock on your door. A lock on your door, phone. And one of those things that they wear them, those alert. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what they're called.
Yeah,
those necklace
things. Yeah, like yes, yes. That. And, and let people, like, say, like, if you're going somewhere, like, sometimes when I go, if I'm going somewhere, say on a trip, mm-hmm. I'm going on, I let my children know. I let two or three of them know, at least my daughter. I'll call and tell them I'm going such and such a place. I'll be such and such a time. So they'll know. And like I said, your phone.
Right.
Doorbell, unless you have an alarm in your house. Yeah, you can use an alarm in your house, on the door, you know, somebody open the door.
Yeah.
And you know. That's about it, I think.
Aoni, how might we keep each other safe as a community?
Oh. To try to watch out for...
Each other.
For each other.
Boy.
Let's say if you live next door to a neighbor, and if you don't see that neighbor, like you used to see this neighbor every day or every other day, and if you don't see this neighbor maybe in about 2 days, then you think, you know, maybe something is wrong. So you call somebody. To find out, you know, if everything is okay. I don't know if that's what you want or not.
That's fine.
If you know of anything that's going on in the community, or in your neighborhood, you can let people know, you let someone know. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're not aware.
Do you think violence is a part of American culture?
No. You know, when you say part, it's our culture to be violent? No. It's not part of your culture. Sometimes it comes from your upbringing. where you live, the neighborhood you live in, the people you associate with. You know, just like this, well, just like, oh, I don't know if you wanted to hear this, but anyway, I'm going to tell you. Just like the sermon I had or heard Sunday, babies are born. When a baby is born, a baby has no sins. When the baby is born, when the baby now, but what happens with the baby when they start growing up? They do things they're not supposed to do, like we do. But it's not a culture. This is like I said, we, you know, the way you brought up, where you come from, how you were treated, how you treat other people, all of that. Is it your culture to be mean? Is it my culture to be mean? No.
Right.
Some of the habits that we have, they're learned. Yeah. They're learned. If you see someone abusing someone all the time, so what's going to come into your mind? Oh, this is okay, but it's not. So, I don't know if that's what you want or not.
That's perfect. So you think it's more on the individual person?
Yes.
So since you said no, this is five kind of trickled off of that question, right? Does this, how might we shift our culture into a healthier one? How might we shift our culture?
How might we shift it
to a healthier one?
To a healthier one.
Right now, it's like
to look, and I mean the world now is just like just so much violence, and sometimes for no reason. There's no reason. There's no reason for violence anyway. It's no reason. It's just people have to learn how to get along with one another. Because there's no reason why we should have the violence that we have and toward other. If now it's so bad, it's for children. Mm-hmm. You know, does all that come from? So we need to learn how to get along. For one thing, I don't know if for one thing for sure, that the society has taken God out of your life.
He read.
And the Bible tells you all that, everything that's happening now, it tells you in the Bible, it'll come to pass. How we treat one another. People are violent because somebody look at you, you gonna shoot them?
Right.
Where does that come from? But we have turned that back on God, and people think they can do what they want to do, say what they want to do, treat people the way they want to do, and they think there's no consequences. Yes, there is. It's showing you right now. There is consequences from how you treat people, and you think you can do it and just keep going? No. Like I said, the rain fall on the just and the unjust. So the rain don't fall on you and me, but fall on that person over there. No, it falls on you and I, everybody. So all gone.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that goes to the end.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
Before we finish, is there anything else you would like to say?
No, but you're a pleasant young lady.
I appreciate you coming.
Oh,
are we at, like,
Thank you. I like you as an interviewer.
Thank you.